Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about some of the things it takes to spiritually build our families. Also, if you'd like to contact us, email us at 4@fourthstream.com. It's the number 4@fourthstream.com.
So one of my favorite verses about family in the Bible is out of Deuteronomy 6. It's actually a couple of verses, and I want to read it just to frame this. Because when you're talking about building a spiritual family, you have to have a comprehensive approach. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the central message of a spiritual family. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today, shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you should talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And it's so all-encompassing. And I got to tell you, and you probably know this if you're listening right now and you've been following God as you parented, it works.
Mm-hmm. I love it out of the Message. Just two lines I'm going to read. Get them inside. He's talking about the commands. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside your children, and talk about them wherever you are. And then he says, talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. And that's how Excellent. You feel when you have kids, is that it seems anyway, that you go through phases where you feel like you're just, you know, pulling yourself out of bed in the morning and then just falling in, slogging through the day.
This is a study, Building a Spiritual Family, in our workbook. It's on page 62, and you can find that at mystronghome.com. And I'm looking right now, we just read the Deuteronomy passage. There's also one here in Psalm 127, Ephesians 5. Hebrews 12. Are you going to want to talk about those? Have you looked them up?
I have them, yes. Do you want me just to read one of them now?
Well, you can. We've got like 10 things we want to get through with regard to building a spiritual family, but it's all based on these passages. Mm-hmm. That's where we came up with it. So
let me just intersperse a couple of them.
That sounds good. So you're prepared to do that?
Yes, pretty much.
Number one, if you want to build a spiritual family, attempt to share at least one daily meal as a family and talk about how you're each integrating your lives into God's life as you address each day's stories. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to catch up on what happened during the day. It's totally another to talk about seeing God in the middle of what you do.
Yeah, and just really being face-to-face for a period of time. This was huge for us, especially during swimming or volleyball. It just meant we had to be really flexible. So I remember for a period of time, we were eating at 4:30 in the afternoon. You were able
She's
to work it out
right
to
now.
Come home. Well, it was just really hard, and you felt like then we were eating again later.
Just
maybe.
Ain't natural.
But it's not natural, but it didn't work for us to be together very well later. So we had to kind of fit in that time. And yeah, it was a little rushed. And then it seemed like then we went through another phase where Saturday morning wasn't the time. It wasn't really necessarily always a meal time, but we somehow found a way to sort of really sit around and be together.
Well, and that's a very key practical outworking. What are those times during the week where you're catching up together and not just catching up on the business of the family, but catching up on the connection, you know, our God connection together? And that is totally tied into the second thing. And we've alluded to this, discussed it a little bit during this series, but be a spiritual leader by learning to cherish your wife and to respect your husband.
These are probably the most important things, in my opinion, in a marriage, and consequently instilling them in the family. Women and men have inherent needs, I think. While all of us have different needs in some ways, men have a particular deep-seated need and women have another. And I think women need to know they're beautiful and that they're cherished. And men seems like they have a question about whether they have what it takes. Mm-hmm. And if these are left untended, marriages really struggle. And so, you know, in this kind of particular segment, we're talking some about men, but it just seems like men need to be called into a place. And I think this is one thing moms can do, is make sure they really believe in their sons that you can do this. And as soon as you see that your son is ready to do something, even if he hasn't seen he's ready to, call him up to it and get him going in that direction. Not in a pressured way, but just in a And assuming they can do it, because so often they'll just rise to it.
Being cherished and being respected. I was thinking about these things just the other day because they came up in a conversation with a couple. Mm-hmm. And I remember the gal said, I don't even know what it's like to be cherished, you know, which was kind of heart-wrenching to hear her say that. But she was serious about it. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking about it since we had that meeting and that get-together and how, you know, when a woman is cherished, which means that you place her in the proper position in relationship to God and the rest of life, well, that is being respected,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So so you get the respect by being cherished, and this it works the opposite with men. You know, when I feel respected, that opens up all kinds of places where I feel cherished, and I would never want to say I want you to cherish me, mm-hmm. but I feel loved when I feel respected. So it's interesting how in those two qualities, those two character qualities, and those two points of focus that God gives us all of it mm-hmm. when we each give to each other what God asks us to
and
give.
And when we demonstrate that for our kids, we also show all the aspects of God, because God does not only have the male qualities. Since females were created by him and we're in his image, God must have all the qualities that men and women bring. So it's really important for our kids to see men and women and the different things they bring to a marriage, all the strengths they bring, because they are directly from God.
Well, and it's no mistake that wisdom is characterized as a woman in the mm-hmm. scriptures all the way through the Proverbs, and mm-hmm. there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
She's like the mom. She's like the wife, mm-hmm. you know, in a harmonious way. Also, building a spiritual family, being a spiritual leader by learning to cherish your wife and respecting your husband. I love this, and this is easier said than done. Live in submission to the authority of the word. Revere and honor God in your home. And I've done a lot of premarital counseling. I continue to do that. And I'm always, when I describe this to a couple, I make this triangle right in front of my face, you know, mm-hmm. and I kind of go, okay, there's you and there's you, but then there's
that's
God.
That's the bottom of the triangle.
Yeah. And the top of the triangle is God. And that's what makes not only a marriage work, but it makes a marriage fruitful mm-hmm. from an eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's such a big deal when we want to build a spiritual family.
And then maintaining a spiritual relationship with each of your kids. It just means a lot of time alone together with them, learning how to make new memories. All of those things are a part of building a spiritual foundation in your family.
We had a great lunch the other day, and I'm enjoying my interactions with my grandkids right now, because as we talk, I have so many natural conversations about God, because I'm just in a different place in my life. When I was mm-hmm. teaching my kids, you know, I was trying to watch everything like a hawk, and I was going after it. Well, right now I can kind of sit back and listen to them and then take the God stuff to them in ways that speak to the need that they have. And I'm just really thoroughly enjoying yeah. that part of life.
Yeah. Psalm 127 talks about God building the house and us, you know, doing our part, but being sure that we're letting God do it. So Psalm 127, if God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. And if God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late, which is easy to do, I think, when you're trying to care for your family. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves?
Yeah.
Don't you see that children are God's best gift, the fruit of the womb, his generous legacy? Like a warrior's fistful of arrows are the children of a vigorous youth. Oh, how blessed are you parents with your quivers full of children. Your enemies don't stand a chance against you. You'll sweep them right off your doorstep.
You love that message, don't you?
I do. Well, I do, especially when we talk about it, because it just feels fresh and it's full of pictures for the radio.
Word pictures, which, you mm-hmm. know, the Bible is filled with word pictures, and that's why we like to look at different translations. So talk about him together. And stay close to each other, mm-hmm. whatever the personal cost, because that's part of building a spiritual family. You don't just have quiet times to talk about God or appointed times. God is in the middle of everything because he's in the middle of our lives.
And some of the most poignant times are right in the middle of life. They're right in the middle of sickness. They're right in the middle of conflict. They're right in the middle of birthday celebrations, just bringing him into everything you can.
I'm thinking about this fifth point because I wrote it down probably about 10 years ago when I was writing the notebook, maybe even 15 years ago when I did my first drafts. Don't bow to external pressure to conform to cultural family practices. Be selective about opportunities such as sports, extracurricular pursuits. Busyness is a trap. Industry is a virtue. And man, we are living such a confused culture. What a challenge you face as a parent today to figure out how to come up with a balance in those things. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think maybe some of these decisions need to be made before we run into the situation. For instance, are you willing to make the tough decisions for your kids to give up going out for a sport? Or an activity, because mm-hmm. they're squeezing every minute out of every day for everything except for family and God time. And it's a tough question. There is no one answer that fits all. But looking at your kid's life and thinking, do they have any time, downtime for themselves? Do they have any time to even consider spiritual things? Are they missing youth group or any times that they would be with other people who might have similar values? Those are just all things to be considered. There's no one answer, no easy answer, but there is an answer. God has an answer for each of our families.
If what we're talking about today interests you related to building a spiritual family, go to mystronghome.com. This is on page 62 of the workshop worksheets that are put together there. Another one, be decisive and proactive about your family objectives and protect your time as a family. And it kind of relates to what we were just talking mm-hmm. about. Be consistent, be teachable, and don't waffle. Once you've decided to live things a certain way, reason it through. And as kids get old enough, include them in the process. Uh-huh. Don't just hand down edicts.
So for instance, we went through a period of time where we just said, Sundays, we just have to have a few hours on Sunday. So none of you can plan anything for a few hours on Sunday. Then there were other times that Saturday afternoons were a better time. But I just think that God has a time for your family. You just have to be willing. Each of us has to be willing in our families to find it, because I think he wants it. I know he does.
These are ongoing conversations that you want to have over and over again, because family life is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. The challenges around us and in our families are changing all the time. So to stay focused is incredibly important. With that, number seven, be appropriately honest about your shortcomings and your family weaknesses.
Yes. For instance, do you look at your family and you think, we kind of have trouble sticking with commitments. We tend to cancel, or we mm-hmm. tend to waffle on things. Or you might look at your family and go, I think other people might look at us and say, they're kind of critical. Or what it is. Kind of what your family reputation is. And is it the reputation you want to have? And if it's not, you're the ones that God can use to change that.
There are so many faces to arrogance, and to look mm-hmm. at your family and accentuate humility and de-emphasize arrogance, because it comes out of every family, and you just don't want the family character mm-hmm. to not at least identify it for what it is.
It may always be a struggle, but how are you going to fight it?
Finally, pray daily as a couple for the spiritual welfare of your children and grandchildren. After you do everything, you really have to place your kids in God's hands, because ultimately, he's the one that does the heart work.
Amen.
Amen. Keep turning the pages.
That's right.
Again, you can go to mystronghome.com and find these worksheets, as well as a lot of videos and stuff like that that can be helpful for you.
And you can email us anytime at 4@4thstream.com.
4thstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to 4thstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at 4thstream.com.